Okay, let's pray. Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Heavenly Father, open our minds now that we might understand your holy scriptures. As we look at them together, as we think and hear about them, open our minds by the Holy Spirit's power. Give us understanding, a desire and longing to know you, serve you. Renew our wills, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I love to read God's Word. I love to read God's Word. If you're filling in the gaps, that's the first statement on the sheet there. I love to read God's Word. How do you feel about that statement? Perhaps you think, if only I did feel like that. But I don't have the time to read God's Word. I wouldn't know where to start if I did. And then what does it mean when I read it? I'm just not sure. If only. Or maybe you think, what? I love to read God's Word. What? And the idea of reading God's Word, the Bible, regularly has never occurred to you, perhaps. I don't know. Or maybe you think, I love to read God's Word. Of course. And hopefully this morning will inspire you to read God's Word with renewed vigour. I want to convince you today that reading God's Word and feeling this statement, I love to read God's Word, it's possible, it's reasonable, it's spiritual, and it's practical to think these things. I love to read God's Word. I'm starting a short sermon series which I've called A Christian Toolkit. If you get an electrician to come and do a job at home, he'll turn up with a bag of tools, won't he? And if he hasn't got the things that he needs in his bag of tools, he's useless. So there'll be a pair of pliers in there, a multimeter, something to cut wires with, a screwdriver or two. And if he opens his bag and they're not there, what good is he to you? He can't do the job, can he? If he hasn't got those things in his toolkit. And we're going to look at a Christian toolkit. The things that will help us to be a Christian. Now, it's by grace we're saved through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are some senses in which we don't need anything except for him. How are we rescued? Christ alone. If God says to him, why should I let you into heaven? What's the answer? Not because of what I've done, because what he's done, what God has done. Grace. And so in some senses, the things we do here, well, in every sense, they don't contribute towards that. They are a response. But they're a great response. And how do we live out our lives for Christ in response to his grace? The things we look at in the Christian toolkit will help us. And today is the first one. It's Bible reading. Reading the Bible. Getting to that point where we say, I love to read God's Word. That's part of our toolkit. And if that's not in the bag, then we're really missing out. And it will be harder for us to live for Christ. And reading the Bible is possible, reasonable, spiritual and practical. So first of all, it's possible. It's possible to think this. I love to read God's Word, the Bible. So this idea isn't out of reach for ordinary people. Let's have a look at this psalm, which I've got my finger in, and hopefully you have too. Page 620, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. This is the testimony, if you like, of someone who did love to read God's Word. It's written around about 1,000 years before Jesus. And at that time, he had much less of God's Word in his hands, as it were. And they weren't in his hands. They didn't have nice little printed Bibles. He had to go and listen to someone else reading it. But what benefits did he get from when it was read, or when maybe he read it out aloud himself? Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Precepts and statutes are God's word. They're things written in the scriptures. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's someone who says, I love to read God's word. I gain understanding from your precepts. Again, a word about the instruction in the Bible. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. What benefits does this person get from reading God's word? Many, many benefits. And this person thinks, don't they? I love to read God's word. How I love your law, verse 97. Well, this is the testimony of someone 1,000 years before Jesus. Let me tell you something of my testimony. I got my first grown-up Bible, if you like, when I was about 18 or 19. It was an important time in my life. I'd been a year at university. And I experienced awakening to Christ. I'd always been to church as a child, but I'd been trusting in Jesus more and discovered that what the gospel was, for one thing, which is brilliant. I was going to college, Christian Union, I was going to church. And up to that point, I'd been reading the Good News Bible. As a child, I'd had a Good News Bible given to me. And I decided I was going to buy a new Bible. So I bought an RSV, which at that time was like the equivalent of the NIV we had. It was the latest, well-written Bible, well-translated Bible. A new term, I thought, I'll buy a new Bible. When I bought this Bible and got it home, suddenly it was as if my eyes were opened to God's word, almost for the first time. And the things I was reading were amazing. And my Bible reading took off. It was making more sense to me. God was changing my life through it. I love to read God's word, the Bible. There's something God can do to us, to change us, to help us think that, like he did the psalmist. And like it did to me. Maybe you've never considered the Bible like that. Or maybe you struggle with your Bible reading. It is possible to love to read God's word. A few years ago, if you said to me, David, run a half marathon, I'd have laughed at you. I was a couch potato. I'd never run longer than 100 metres in my life. As a kid, we did a cross country. I'd go once around the school field and then there's a gate you're supposed to go out to. Well, I was dead before we got to the gate. And yet, last year I did run a half marathon. I did something called Couch to 5K. It took you from nowhere to running 5,000 metres over a 9-week period. And I did it. And it's a bit like that with the Bible, isn't it? We might think, I struggle with it. I don't know what to read. I don't know where to start. But it is possible to start reading the Bible. And after not very long, for God to work in our hearts so that we can say, I love to read God's word. And here's something to nudge you in that direction. It's possible to think this. It's reasonable to think this. It's reasonable. It makes sense. In fact, it's more than that. There's something to be excited about in God's word. There's something about the Bible that makes it worth it reading. It's a really good idea to read it. And I suppose that's summed up by what we keep calling it, God's word. It is from God. It comes to us through human beings with the help of the Holy Spirit. But it's God's communication. Back then, when it was written, each of the individual books, God was speaking. Today, as we read it, God is speaking. I love to read God's word. It's reasonable to think this, an exciting thing to think, because it's God's word. So let's turn over a few pages and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is page 1196 in the Bibles. It's the first reading we had today. Page 1196, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're just going to look at a few verses there. Page 1196. While you're turning to that, let me tell you that in this book, it's a letter from Paul, the apostle, to Timothy. Timothy is a church leader, possibly in Ephesus at this time. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to stand firm against false teachers, to stick with God's word. Why is he going to stick with God's word? Well, let's see. Chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, Timothy, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Four things to notice here, four reasons why it's sensible, reasonable, exciting to love God's word. First of all, trustworthy people in verse 14. The people who got Timothy to look at the Bible in the first place were respectable people, good people. He trusted them. You know those from whom you learnt what he's learnt. Verse 14. He's known it from infancy. Now, if someone recommends something to you, that's great, isn't it? So maybe you're looking for a new washing machine, and you say to your friend, oh, I'm looking for a new washing machine. They say, oh, I got this really good one from this shop. It's a blah de blah, and it does this, that, and the other. It wasn't that expensive. And so off you go to that shop, and you buy the blah de blah, and it's not that expensive, and it's a great machine. You get a recommendation from someone you trust, it's a really good thing. That's exactly what happened with Timothy. People he trusted shared God's word with them. Trustworthy people. Second one is the gospel is revealed. Gospel revealed. Gospel revealed in verse 15. How from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy should stick with the Bible. We can love the Bible. It makes sense because it shows us about Jesus and how to trust in him and be saved by him. It's a reminder that we've got to go to the Bible for the right thing, haven't we? If you wake up one morning and your car won't start, there's no point in going into the kitchen and taking a recipe book off the shelf. It's not going to help you, is it? You need to find your Haynes manual or the phone book to ring up the AA. You've got to go to the Bible for the right thing. And a recipe for spaghetti bolognese isn't going to help you to fix the car. And in the Bible, what do we go to the Bible for? Well, the first thing we go to the Bible for is to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is about our relationship with God. And if you think of it, that covers a lot. So there's a lot to learn from the Bible about our relationship with God through Jesus. So the gospel is revealed. This is great, isn't it? Do we want to know Jesus more, love him more? We need to be reading his word. It's an exciting thing to do. It's a reasonable thing to do. Trustworthy people, gospel revealed. God breathed. The third thing, God breathed. Verse 16. All scripture is God breathed. It comes from God. It's him speaking by the Spirit. It's God breathed. What a wonderful thing. And when you stop and think about it, Paul is speaking mostly at this stage to Timothy about the Old Testament. We do know that he would have had some of the early scriptures in the New Testament. But mostly he's speaking about the Old Testament. That's able to make us wise for salvation in Jesus. That's God breathed. And there are good reasons for us to apply this to the New Testament scriptures too. What we have is from God by the Holy Spirit. It isn't just a human thing. There's a new level here, isn't there? It's above just human writing. So Shakespeare's great. F. Scott Fitzgerald, rather good writer, apparently. God is amazing. It's a whole new level of writing. And so this is why we talk about, sometimes, sitting under God's word. It's a little phrase that people use. Oh, we sit, here at this church, we sit under God's word. And what we mean by that is not that David is up in a pulpit when he preaches, but we mean that when we look at the Bible, we take it as being our authority. We let ourselves be underneath what God says. There are some people, many people, who sit over God's word. So they look down on the word. They treat themselves as an authority on God's word. Oh, I'm more important than God. My brain is better than God's, they say. I read this bit, I don't like that. And they rip it out effectively in their mind. I'll ignore that bit because something else, somebody, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald says this, so I'll ignore this, or whatever. They sit over God's word. But we like to sit under God's word and recognise the authority God has on us because it's God-breathed. Remember the psalmist, I have more insight than all my teachers, even ones on diocesan courses, for I meditate on your statutes. We sit under God's word. It's God-breathed. It's trustworthy people, gospel revealed, God-breathed, and it equips disciples. The last couple of verses there. Deuteronomy 3, verse 16. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do we want to know how to live as followers of Jesus Christ? I hope we do. The Bible's going to help us. It's going to show us the right way. It's going to tell us when we're going the wrong way. It's going to equip us so that we can be God's servants, working for Him. It's reasonable to think. I love to read God's word. It's more than reasonable, isn't it? It's exciting to think it. Here we've got in our hands God speaking to us. What a privilege. So it's possible to think this. It's reasonable, exciting to think this. And it's spiritual to think this. Number three, it's spiritual. When God is at work in us, this is something He does to us. He changes our hearts so that we say, I love to read God's word. It's God at work. Think of the spiritual armour that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you're a spiritual person, this is what you're thinking. And so we need God at work in us to think this. We need to pray, God, give me a greater love for your word. Or that prayer from earlier in Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Or we could pray these words from 2 Timothy, couldn't we? Lord, as I read, teach me, rebuke me, correct me, train me in righteousness, so that I can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's a spiritual thing to think. I love to read God's word. Possible, reasonable, exciting, spiritual, and practical. It's practical to think this. You can do it. This isn't something that's off there in academia land or something like that, or beyond you. This is something we can all do. We can have notes to read the Bible with. I meant to have one in my hand down there in my bag to show you. Bible notes so that each day there's a passage to read, some little questions to think of, and some help to answer them. And you can, if you have a mobile phone, you can get notes on your mobile phone these days, but you can have them in print as well. And I'll put some of these copies on the bookshelf afterwards. They're £1 each if you want them. They're out of date, but I think that's wonderful because it means you don't need to be bound by the date. So you can just open it and start reading. Ignore the date at the top of the page. If you miss a day, great, just do the next passage. And the dates are so out of date, it doesn't matter. They're brand new books, £1 each. Or you can use this little card, which I've given you. We've had these before, but I've printed some more. This is called, glamorously, the Swedish method. And the idea with this is maybe you haven't got some Bible notes, or maybe you've left them at home and you're on a holiday, and you can have this tucked in the back of your Bible, just like that, tucks in very nicely, falls out every time you open it, which is great, because you pick it up, and you say, aha. And these are some simple questions that you can ask of any passage. So if we go to the passage we're in, 2 Timothy 3:14-17, and we can ask these questions. What strikes me straight away? I don't know, what strikes you? As you read it through, you can think, what's the big picture? What's the most important thing here? Well, look at that. All scripture is God-breathed. Maybe that strikes you, or maybe you're struck with this, how scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. Just something to notice. Then you can go down the list. What's the situation? Oh, look, Paul's encouraging Timothy. What's it say about God? He breathed out the scriptures. And he's got servants, servant of God. He wants to thoroughly equip them. So we learned about God. What does it say about people? Up in the passage above, some of them are evildoers and imposters. But some of them are trustworthy. You know, we learn about us. Is there anything you don't get? What does it mean? Rebuking, I'm not sure about that. Write that down. I'll ring up my mum or later, or I'll ring up Roy, he'll tell me what that means. You know, and so on. So it's just a simple way of looking through a passage. After that, we ask ourselves, how shall I change? I've read the passage, I've thought about it. What can God change in me? The way I think, things I do. Maybe there's a promise there I can remember. Maybe there's a prayer I can pray. Or a command I need to follow. And after that, we talk to God about it, we pray. And we talk to someone else about it, talk to a friend. I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 3 earlier today, and I read this about the Holy Scriptures. It's amazing, what do you think? So it's practical. And there's two ways that maybe you can start if you haven't already. Or maybe if you're using other notes, change your notes if you're feeling a bit bored. Or try using the Swedish method. I also have a website which I've designed. If you use websites, something called onlinequiettime.net. I've also got this really practical thing I've designed, which isn't a website or anything. And I've borrowed this from Christian bookshops. a bookmarker with four little ribbons on it. And what you do is you stick them in four different places in the Bible. And then when you start a day, you start the first one, read a page. And if you've got more time, you turn to the second one, read a page, and so on. And you move them on. And that way, as you go through, you gradually read through the whole of the Bible. There's lots of different ways to get you going. It's practical to think. I love to read God's Word. So, I love to read God's Word. That's what we've been thinking about today. It's our Christian toolkit. Is Bible reading in your toolkit? When you open your Christian toolkit up, is it there? Is it something you're doing day by day by day? If only, you think. Well, it's possible, isn't it? We've seen that. It's reasonable. It makes sense to do. It's an exciting thing to do. It's spiritual. You want to be a person who's walking with Jesus. This is what you need to do. It's helpful. It's practical. It's not beyond you. You need to act. Do something about it. Maybe you say, what? Bible reading? Never thought of it. Well, there's an old phrase, isn't there? Suck it and see. Give it a go. Buy one of the Bible notes books or take that Swedish card home. Make yourself a bookmarker, whatever. Have a go. And perhaps you say, oh, of course, Bible reading. I love it. I love God's Word, the Bible. It's brilliant. Well, may the Lord open your eyes that you may see wonderful things in His law. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us the Holy Scriptures through your prophets and apostles, and you've caused them to be written for our learning, that we can be taught and corrected and rebuked, trained, that we can know Jesus for salvation by faith through them. Help us, we pray, with our Bible reading. In Jesus' name, amen.